We're resuming the interview again, and we're coming to the end of the interview, Denise. And I was asking you about the community of Venity, how it's changed over, say, your lifetime.
Yeah, well, the old people have certainly gone, but the young ones are still around. We still keep in touch with a lot of the ones that are around. Again, most of my relatives still live close to me. Some friends have moved into state or whatever, but as I said, the older ones have gone, passed on, but we're still there, and I think there's still a few, even though they might have moved a few streets away, or, you know, their children are still there and we still see each other, and not as often, but I think the community is still there. Shame that they sold the Venital Club, but it was the old people, that the older ones that used to go there more often, so it was their thing. You know, the young ones today are a little bit different, but we still see each other. We still know of people, you know, if we hear something, or, oh, really, is that what happened? Or, yeah.
Are you a member of the Venator Club?
No.
Is it something that you would want to do, to become a member?
I've been asked. I probably would. Well, while he was alive, it was never any interest. He was never that type of person. But yeah, I probably would, because I've got, again, relatives that are all part of the Venator Club. So why not? It's not like a big social gathering as it used to be, but they do have their polenta night and their quail night. And so, yeah, I probably would.
And what about the Trevisani nel Mondo? Have you been involved with them?
I need to go to the picnics, that's all.
And they're always a big occasion, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're huge. They had their picnic not long ago, I think a couple of weeks ago. Mum was part of the Trevisani. They actually went on a trip to Canada and America. They went to Hawaii too on the way back, but they did a big thing in Canada with the Trevisani del Mondo. They went to other clubs over there.
Oh.
Yeah, they did that. She enjoyed it, because she also had Maizio Berto, our Tonelato. He went with them, and I think Zilio went one year too. But so she had people that she knew, but she enjoyed it. It was her first jaunt without my dad, you know, after dad passed away, and she enjoyed it. So.
And having relatives there would have made...
Yes. Long-lost relatives. We found them... I'm trying to think if it was after Dad died. Sunta found them, yeah. So it was good. And then they came here, and then Sunta went there, and Gilberto went there, and Mum went there. It's funny.
Yeah.
It took them a lot of years, but they found each other. And I think there's somebody now trying to communicate with Sunta from over in Canada as well.
Yeah, she writes a blog every now and
then.
That's
right, you told me that, yes.
You've lived all your life on Frogmore Road. Last time we spoke, you said that you'd been in three houses. You were born at number 40.
Yes.
Lived at number 38. Is that right?
No. Born at 40, lived at 36, and then got married and moved to 38.
Oh, right. So what does that say about you and Frogmore Road?
I'm not going anywhere. No. I don't know. I think it's just part of me. It's just part of me. I've never really wanted to live anywhere else, except my daughter... My oldest daughter, Nicole, she lives at number 36 now.
In your parents?
In my mum's home. Yeah, mum and dad's home. And we've still got the gate between the two houses.
How did that happen?
After mum died, Sandra and I, we left the house. So I bought Sandra out because I never wanted to sell the house. some people said, oh, you know, it's only a house. And I said, no, I wanted Nicole, who lived at Morpher Vale at the time, I wanted her to move down to be close and, you know. And no, mum, we're all right, mum, we're all right, mum. Until she had her first child. Then she realised maybe it's a good idea. So they moved in. They bought the house and they moved in next door, and it's wonderful. I see my two of my grandchildren every day. They come before school and they come after school. It's beautiful. And some people might think, oh yeah, but living next door, you get to know too much. But I don't go and nosy into their business, and they don't come and nosy into my business, or, you know, it's good to have them there.
And it's reminding me of you saying, you know, that you used to go and visit your tonelato noni every day.
Every day.
You know, it's like it's another version of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the moment you've got your second daughter and granddaughter living with you.
Yes, yes. Love Ivy to bits, can be a little bit daunting and frustrating sometimes with Cherie, but she's busy working, so I'm looking after the little one and I'm happy. Now that she's out working, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So three generations living in the same house?
In the same, yes, yeah. There are.
Yeah.
There are.
You quoted last time we talked that everybody was family, and it has come up in different ways in our interview, hasn't it?
Yes.
Everybody was family.
Everybody's family. Yeah.
And it's a really, I guess it reminds me of people who've lived in small villages.
Yes.
In Italy.
Yes.
That it's sort of like these circles of people, you know, intersecting with each other.
Well, you know, growing up, as I said, we were the community. It was, there were a lot of people around, you know, further out, but where the market gardens were, it was always us. And that's all we needed, was us. We didn't need, as children, we didn't need anyone else, because it was there, family was there. We had friends as well, you know, because especially when we went to school, we made other friends. But it was always us playing together, spending time at each other's houses as we grew older. Sleepovers were always, you know.
With the cousins?
With the cousins.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 And now, what does your, you know, parents' heritage mean to you?
Heritage. As in, I don't understand exactly.
Oh, I suppose, like, it's a bit of a general question. If you think of, like, both your father and your mother coming from families who were migrants, your parents both came as children, but their parents were migrants who came between the wars from the same small paese in the Veneto region. What does that make you feel or think?
First, that they were very brave to come out here. Secondly, I'm very grateful that they came out here because I love this country. And I think they gave us a life better than what they had. And their parents gave them a life better than what they had. I think it just continues on. And I'm proud that my parents were Italian. People ask me, what nationality are you? I said, well, I'm Australian of Italian parentage, heritage or background. Oh, okay. Why aren't you Italian? I said, because I was born here. But I'm very, very grateful that they came here. I think that growing up, as my children grew up, I tried to make sure that they knew what their grandparents' background is. And the same with my great-grandchildren. Although we don't speak, we speak more Australian than what we do Italian, they do understand words. You know, if I say something like, hold my hand, I say, dammi manina, you know, in the Veneto. And they know exactly. Even the little one who's not even two. I say to her, Ivy, dammi manina. And she'll grab my hand and, you know. So it, I don't know. I try not to, I hope that they don't lose it. They don't lose it. I was looking before the last few days, looking through photos. I've got so many photos. And I'm thinking, what are they going to do with all these photos when I go? They'll probably just dump them all. I know Diana Panizzolo, she's got like a trunk full of photos, apparently. I'd like to see some of those because she's got more photos of the family, the Santon family, than what we have, except for the album that my sister lost.
I'm sure that she's going to find it again.
I hope so, because there was, as I told you, there were some photos of my mum and dad in there, and there's some really good stuff in there. I gave it to her for safekeeping. It's gone.
Well, she's put it, obviously, in an extra special place. Do you feel as a kind of a connection to the Veneto region through your parents?
Yeah, and I think because I spent 6 months there, you sort of remember things, you know, and you try and picture things like as they were then and how much has it changed. And as I said, I was Australian born, but my parents are Italian and they're Veneto. So that's my heritage, and I feel that we are part of it. And I think that if you speak to any of the Veneti children my age, that their parents have, you know, come out from Italy, I think they'll feel the same, that sure, it's part of us because it's part of our parents, and I feel connected. And even if I'd never been there, I mean, I only went to Cazere, you know, stayed there. I think I'd still feel it. So, yeah.
Yeah. We didn't talk about any of the kind of traditions, apart from you saying about the killing the pig and also making wine.
Yeah.
But did you feel that there were any particular kind of customs or traditions that came down to you through your family?
Well, with my mum and my two aunties, they always made the crostoli at Christmas and Easter.
Can you explain what crostoli
are? Oh, crostoli are like a wafer, but light as a feather wafer. Biscuit, I suppose you'd call it. And you deep fry it for about 10 seconds maybe. And then you throw lots of sugar on it, and they are the best, softest. They crumble. You virtually have to wear a bib, and the table or wherever you're eating them is just full of crumbs after it. So, but you don't throw away the crumbs. You just sweep them up and you eat them.
Do you make them?
Yes, actually. Next week we're supposed to be going to my sister's to make them. Diana Panizzolo, niece Anton, she's the instigator. If it wasn't for her, I think we probably would have lost that custom, because her mother, my zia Clara, she knew how to make them, you know, hands down. Gnocchi is the same, zia, and my zia Clara always used to make custard puffs. What are they called? They're not a tart, but they're like a cream puff, but she'd put the Italian custard in it. She was a wonderful... My mum was good at making the frittole.
And so what are the frittole?
Frittole are like a donut with fruit and apple, grated apple. Mum used to put in it, sultanas, grappa, or any liquor that you could find. You just throw it in there. And then you just make little balls. You deep fry the little balls.
And were they for special occasions?
I think if somebody was having a dinner, you know, you'd make a small batch. But yeah, Easter and Christmas, always Easter and Christmas is what I remember, you know.
And the same with krostoli.
Krostoli, yeah.
And when you make them, can you explain what goes into the...
The batter? No, I can't tell you. All I know is that I have to bring flour and I don't know if I have to bring grappa and oil for deep frying. Diana has all those secret ingredients as she goes out looking, and it's usually all little packets of Italian, you know, from Italy, all little stuff. She still uses what her mother used to use, and yeah, and you have to make the batter and then let it sit, you know, and then she knows exactly. She is, when she goes, I don't know. I hope Amanda has learned, her daughter has learned how to do all of this.
Maybe you should video it.
Maybe I should. Maybe I should get her to write it down.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Like you and Sandra, your sister, and your first cousin, yeah, Diana. Anyone else?
Oh, yeah. There's Lisa, Diana's sister, my first cousin. Then there's Diana's daughter, Amanda. There's Diana's daughter-in-law, Graciela, usually. I don't know if she's going to come this week. But anyway, me, I missed out a couple of times because my husband was sick and I couldn't go. There's, who else is there? Amanda, Lisa, Graciela, Danielle often comes, that's Sandra's daughter. One year, Diana's boss, one of her bosses came. But there's, and my brother-in-law stands there and he actually puts the dough through the machine, you know, he sits there and he does all of that. And then we cut them. Somebody's gets the cutting done and others do the frying and then the sugar, the kids have usually got the sugar, but there could be 10 of us.
Wow. Yeah, so real kind of ritual.
Oh, if I showed you, I haven't got my phone with the photos on it, but we did it at Amanda's one year and her dining room table, it's got to be twice the size of this one. And it was full of krostoli.
And then you split it
then
up.
Then we split it up.
And take it and eat it on Christmas Day?
I've still got some from last year. No, from Easter. Sorry, I lie. From Easter. Yeah, only a handful.
So but you do everybody this loves twice them. A year?
Yeah, usually twice a year.
That's lovely, isn't it? And that really is something that
it's come from the family. Yeah, from our mothers. But like I said, it's your clutter was the baker in the family. She was fantastic. And you'd say to her, but Zia, how much do I need of this and how much do I need of that? Oh, you know, un poco de questo, un poco de quel. I said, but how do I know? Oh, you'll know, she'd say, you know. There were never any measures. There are no measures. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Just feel. If it doesn't feel right, add a little bit more.
That's the words of a very experienced
cook.
No, do you cook other Italian or Veneto food?
My kids love my lasagna, so I'll have the lasagna. I've made gnocchi a couple of times. I'm not very good at it, but I'm willing to try again. But I'll make my gnocchi with ricotta cheese so that they stay a little bit lighter and it's not as heavy. Polenta. My mother used to make my daughters polenta, and it would be, she'd make it, and before it actually set, she'd pour some on a plate, a saucer, and then over that sauce, over that polenta, she'd pour sugo, you know, like a tomato sauce over the top, but really made really thick, the same as you'd make for your pasta, you know. The girls still love it, so they won't make it. Mum, you're gonna make some this time. You're gonna make polenta with peas, and then the peas, but the old fashioned, the Veneto style peas with the onion and the garlic and the oil and the sauce. You know, the tomato. I make that.
And is that soft polenta?
Yeah, soft polenta.
Okay.
You can let it go hard after you can make it set, and then you can grill it if you want. You know, Dad used to love his. Cut into slices and then you grill it a little bit and then you'd have polenta with a hunk of Parmesan cheese, Parmigiano, you know, in the other hand. Yeah, but it's a soft polenta. It stays nice and soft because you're spreading it out, and then because you've got the sauce on the top, it doesn't make a skin, so it's always nice and soft. But that's how they like it.
And did your mother make bacalao?
Mum made bacalao, but I wouldn't eat it. That wasn't one of my favourites, and I never ate anything from the pig.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Why?
I didn't like it. It was fat in it, and people say, "You're strange. You'll eat sawdust sausages from the butcher, but you won't eat the good stuff from the pig." No, don't give me any.
Even now,
no. I'll have salami if it's very thin and hardly any fat. I'll eat Hungarian salami. I'll have some of the sorpresa because I can see that it's only got a little bit of fat in it, but I won't eat any of the sausages. I won't eat the musetti. I don't know what they've got another name for it. We used to call it musetto. Won't eat any of that, and yet my parents would love it. They'd all sit there and eat, and you know.
Yeah, and delicacy almost.
Yes.
And because it was
and it was
made
all
once
made.
A year.
There was no, there was. But there was nothing bad in there. Everything was natural, you know, but no.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm a strange person. I won't eat any of that.
Yeah, like a lot of the vanity would probably be really shocked to hear that.
Yeah, they probably would.
Yeah.
But tough. I won't eat it.
Oh, well, we're coming to the end of the interview. And a question I often ask is, what's this experience been like for you to kind of delve into your memories about your family and about the market gardens and growing up?
I've enjoyed it. I've listened to the other blogs that you've put on and, you know, what other people have said. This is what I remember. But I've enjoyed it. I love reminiscing, and some people say I talk too much, but that's me. But I love reminiscing. I really love it. And it really wants me to go back home now and pick up the phone and say to Diana, my cousin, and my sister Sandra, I think it's time we get together and we have a look at all these old movies that we've got sitting somewhere. Denny's got them. We need to be able to have a night to bring all the kids together. They'll say, oh, you know, they probably won't like it, but it'll be a fun night. We'll have barbecue or something, and we just need to get together and talk and make and let them know. But I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I was a little bit nervous, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, you've given such wonderful information and such detail and very thoughtful about, you know, what you have remembered and what's been important to you and to your family. Yeah. And a real opportunity to understand, you know, another market garden
yeah.
family. But why would you like the younger ones to sit and watch the home movies? And
because I want them to know what we had as children and what, you know, they've only grown up with what they have now. No market gardens around, video games, television, everything is, you know, the telephone, God, don't give them a dial up telephone because they wouldn't know what it is. I just want them to remember, to understand what their nonny had, you know, and this was how we lived. And even though they might think, oh, you didn't have anything, we had a lot. We had a lot. So that's what I would like them to see and to remember people. And the young ones especially, my girls remember my parents, but they wouldn't know my grandparents. So I'd like them to see, you know, what, I don't know. I think it's just nice to have all the family together. Even Christine, I'd love to get Christine Matiazzo or Rebelato. And, you know, her family, just all that side, all the Santon side, I'd like to be able to get together and just do all of that, watch things and remember things. And so I think it's time for us, isn't it? Mm. We're the last generation, really.
With the memory especially yeah. of your nonny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be nice for my girls and their children, you know, to have a look yeah. and and try and remember, not remember, they won't remember very much, but it'll be nice for them to, and then they'll say, well, who was that, and who was that, and then, you know, go through photos, and I don't know, maybe
put,
I'm just weird.
Put the names on the photos.
Yes.
That's, like, that's,
you know,
really
that's
important.
You know, that's one thing, Diana was very good, and still is, at dates and stuff on photos. We never did that, and I've looked at some photos, and I think, what year was this? And I think, oh, maybe it's on the back. There's nothing on the back. Damn, what is it? You know, that's, now the cameras have got the dates. It's okay. You know, you've got all of that. But then cameras, now we use our mobile phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And as you were saying, like, you've got the memories of your grandparents' generation. And if you see photos of that generation, you know, you'll be able to pick them out.
Yeah.
But your daughters won't be able
no.
to. So it's
no.
great that
yeah.
you're thinking that you might.
Yeah.
And I think that that idea of passing on the family history is a very important
I think
thing.
This is important, what you've done for us. So hopefully they'll be able to go back and experience everything and look at everything that you've put on for us, you know. The I go through it every now and then. I'll go through and I say, oh yeah, let me have a look at the Zampans, or let me have a look at the Maseroa, or let me have a look at the Tonelados. And I look through and I'm like, oh, I remember that, I remember that. So it's really great. It's good for us, but I think it'll be good for them too.
Yeah.
So that they can look through it and they can hear or read things that that we as the pioneers' grandchildren remember. They should be able to remember, you know, or at least get a feel,
yeah.
a bit of knowledge of what it was like.
Yes, yeah. And do you think, like, being the grandchildren, well, you're really, you know, like your parents were called the 1.5 generation because they weren't the first generation and they're not the second
generation,
but they came as children.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a term called 1.5.
I didn't know that. But
yeah,
thank you for
I've only
that.
Learned that in the last few years. So the 1.5 generation, there's something special in a way, you
yeah.
know, with the fact that your parents came, both parents came as children, and you know, it's not that long ago, and yet the knowledge of it, as you say, can get lost.
Yes.
If people don't tell the
yeah.
story of their family.
And I think, as I said to you before, I wish I had asked questions. But we didn't think about it then, because you don't think about losing this history. So I think it's important to have this down so that my children and my grandchildren can understand, you know, or at least look at it and say, oh, this is what happened. Oh, this is what Nonno did, or, you know. So I think it's important. And as I said, I'm going to get Sandra and get Denny. Hurry up with those movies. I want to go and see them. We used to do that all the time, though. You have movie nights. I remember when Sandra, when she was going out with Denny, and then even after they got married, we'd go to the Conchies and there'd be, you know, maybe 50 people there. And we'd have movie nights and we'd have dancing and we'd have barbecues, and it was great. That was when I was older, you know, in my late teens. So it was good even then, even though that community was still there, because we're connected with the Conchies. Well, I think, you know, my zio Luigi, who's mum's brother, is married to Italia, who's Denny's mum's sister. So that was another, you know...
Connection.
It was, I mean, who knew? But then we did know. And then even that side of the family now, you know, the Conchi side, they're sort of related, even though we're not related that way. Sandra's related to them because she's married to them. But we are related to them as well. That's how we feel. So, yeah, it's good. And,
yeah.
and I think it's important that the kids and my children and at least my grandchildren get a little bit of knowledge. If it's there that they can read or listen, then they might learn you know, about the life. But I thank you for doing this for us.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it's a pleasure, and it's been a pleasure to find out so much about different families and, like, you know, with you today in this interview, with all the stories, the memories and the lovely details. It's like, you know, here's another piece of this puzzle about the Veneto Market Gardeners and Frogmore Road. Yeah. And yeah, so I thank you very much for agreeing to the interview and being such an informative person who's given an interview today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Denise.